Hi, and welcome to Parent Talk with Beverly. Parent Talk, hashtag, with Beverly. Ooh, I am a Black British mother of West Indian descent with two children. I don't know how much longer I can keep calling them children, because they're teenagers and they're older teenagers, and according to the law, one of them's already an adult because she's past 18. But as you know, as a parent, they will always be your children. So hence why I keep saying my children. And we're based in London, UK. Not an expert of any kind, just sharing my thoughts, opinions and experiences around parenting in the hope that it will help another parent or someone somewhere. So this week has been very busy. And for those of you who've been following this podcast, you can see that it's evolving. And it is about parenting, but it's also about just having a space to be able to talk about stuff that affects us as parents. So, you know, that's why I have the hashtag, so that we can talk about things, not just about which toys to buy or which schools to go to, of which I will talk about. I've got vast experience, but this platform's evolving. So thanks for those who have been here from the very beginning. Thanks for those who have been listening. And even if you haven't commented, although I would like some feedback, but thank you for the reviews that I have had and for the feedback that's tried to help make this better. So anyway, grab your tea, grab your drink. I got mine. Sarsaparilla, people. You know, or just potter around as you listen. So today, what I'm talking about is parenting, giving back to you so that you can give to your family. This is not a sponsored podcast. This is me, myself, and I. If people want to sponsor or whatever they call it, you know, you can contact me. Details will be somewhere on the page of where this podcast is. But right now, it's just important that I just carry on putting out some things for us to think about. So as I say, today is about a space to consider giving back to yourself so that you can give to your children, your partner, and your families. So parenting, giving back so you can give to others. It's really strange, right, that we don't take time to look deeper at ourselves, what we do, how we do things, and even stranger that we don't think that putting ourselves first is key. Why do I say that? Because somehow we think by ignoring ourselves and our needs that we can fill, that we can fulfill other people's, our children's needs. And nowhere is this madness clearer than when we become parents. I know some of you are wondering what's happened to Bev. Has she gone doolally? Well, with all the pressures we have all been under for the last since March, April, May, June, July, and now August, it would be strange for me not to have suffered some level of anxiety or even depression. Generally, I've been good. But let me share a little, and hopefully something I say will connect or prompt or encourage you in some way. I have been busy, but I've also had time to think and reflect, especially with some of the work and training that I've been doing since lockdown. And right now, my children are not here. So I got the house to myself. The cat has been fed and she's trying to chill somewhere else in the house. So I can raise my voice and I can make noise because nobody really gonna hear what I got to say apart from you. Anyway, as I was saying, we have been under some serious uncertainties. And when I say we, I mean all of us yeah, from March, April, May, June, July, and now, right? And in the future, we're still going to have uncertainties and fears. And these past few months, it's not been normal. So we should all expect that our mental health will have been affected. Even in so-called like normal times, regular uncertainties and fears have still been there. But I guess under the surface of parenting, we're all dealing with fears and anxieties of our own. Now, as parents, we have added the worries, expectation, fears of our children to our own list. What am I saying, really? That parenting is challenging and our mental health and our mental well-being will be challenged? Well, the answer is yes. That's the truth. But what's prompted me to think or reflect or talk about that today are the results of some of the calls that I've made this week to parents. So one of my jobs, one of my part-time jobs, is I'm a family support worker for a local charity. And in response to the lockdown, we began to reach out to local parents to see how they were doing and if there was anything we could do to help at this time, right? And I've been doing this since March 2020. So week in, week out, started as a volunteer. I called a cluster of parents who reflected many things back to me. They helped me by accepting the call. And in turn, where I've been able, I've supported them, even if it has been to laugh at things together or to listen to their tears. Then that is what we've done. This week, one aspect of what we've been doing has been to ensure that children who do not have access to laptops or Wi-Fi get access, so that they can engage in their learning, catch up of the months that they've missed lessons, so they can do this over the summer. And in some cases, it's about bringing the external world to the parents who are in isolation and help bring something back to the heart of their family. These laptops have been bought by the charity from fundraising, match funding, donations received from people who are in church, from people just giving, especially after I'd appeared on the local news talking about how do you expect children to learn in lockdown without resources. And, you know, people have been donating. We've had, I believe we've had laptops that were also donated and some were refurbished and working. They're not broken and they've not broken down. I've been calling newly referred families who either don't have a device for learning or don't have a device and Wi-Fi. And through the charity's work with young people, these children and families have been referred to us, some by the school, some by people within the local community that I work within. And so my calls have been to check what they actually need and if they might be interested in having some family support. And the support is really a weekly phone call, or sometimes it's emails, just to check in. We can help with emergency food where the benefit or incomes are really low. You know, because most families, what they're doing is they're paying the bills and they're leaving food as a last item of consideration. So, you know, we help in emergency food for a short period of time. And then we refer to agencies that will be able to sustain support over a long period of time, especially when it comes to food. That's a helicopter going over there. We also signpost families to other local services who might better meet their needs. So after one such call, I left the call pondering and thinking something that for some might seem a little radical here, and it's this. If we don't learn to give to ourselves, how can we give really to others? Do we as parents think that sacrificing our needs will really fill the needs of our children? If you've just joined, get your tea, your coffee, or potter around. We're talking about giving back to yourself so that you can give to your children, your partner, and your family. So, as I was saying, I've been listening to parents, and I really have been pondering the miracles that we think that we can perform without support. What do I mean by that? I mean, why do we think that we can sustain giving without receiving? Yes, parenting can seem like a selfless task, but it's not. That kind of parenting where you just keep giving, giving, giving is slowly killing us. Wake up. Doing for others before we even get a chance to brush our own teeth. Running kids to school in our PJs because we can't get time to hole afresh. Hole afresh, that means have a bath. Before we rush out the door to either take the kids out. Well, it used to be to school, but some of us have had a little break from that. But wake up, make sure all the kids' needs are taken care of, then go wash, cook, clean, and do for others rather than take a 30-minute break for ourselves. I know we love a routine, and routines sure help. But when do you get a time to fill your cup with something that makes you feel better in the day? I'm talking to parents here. When do you get time in the day to fill your cup? Why wait until it's almost bedtime before you have some time for yourself? Let me tell you, bedtime isn't good for me because I'm tired and all I want to do is sleep. Before you know it, the next day starts again and it's like groundhog. Everything just starts all over again. And I haven't done anything to fulfill me. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I'm selfish because I know Skippy, I'm not. But if I don't do something that makes me feel better for me, then all that's going to do is build up resentment, innit? There are some parents, right, who get up in the morning and it's all about them. What can they get others to do for them? And in some cases, who they can pay to do for them so that their lives feel good. But I'm not talking about those parents. I'm talking about you who thinks I'm not talking about you. Yes, you are the one who says, if I don't do it, who will? The one who says, I'm a strong woman. I'm a strong black woman. And if it's not me, then who? The one who says that there's no one else, so it's me. The one who works a couple jobs, takes care of the family's needs, including the big child who might also reside in the house. You know, I'm talking about your man. The parents whose children are over 25, still live at home and act like they're still children to be taken care of when they're not. You're the parents I'm talking to. The parents who are taking care of special education needs children and finding no or little support to help them navigate through a system they know very little about. The parents who know that little Johnny or Carlos or Gemma, Emily's behavior is just off and feel something isn't right, but they're frightened that the child might be seen as not normal, so they deny anything is really a concern. Just for your information, parents, the other parents, us, we're looking at ya, knowing that something isn't right, but we're scared to say anything in case you take it the wrong way or cuss us out or shame and embarrass us in front of people. So we just keep our mouth shut, but mention it behind your back. You know, such and such Pitney, no writed, you know, such and such Pitney, she no writed, he no writed, something off. But me nah say nothing, me nah get involved. Those parents who are taking care of adults with mental health needs under their care without having respite or real family support, because family look for someone else other than them to deal with it. Those parents who smile in your face, who cry at night in their pillow, desperate but not knowing where to turn. Those parents other parents stay away from because they think they're not righted, when this might just actually be a cry for help. Those parents who are trying to keep up with others, but underneath it all really feel that they are the worst parents going because they don't think they shine like someone else, or because they don't have the latest items or the latest intings like others do. The mothers who sacrifice and send their children to boarding school in the hope that their children get that better education that will open doors for them. And they work hard and they give everything to that child who's never home. Those parents who have had children and had to leave them in their homeland while they come to the UK to try and improve their life chances and opportunities by taking any kind of low pay work to hustle and send money home, then find themselves with new children here and struggle to provide for two households with different needs and expectations. Giving, giving, giving can create resentment. Resentment can lead me to become warped, toxic, manipulative, and either power hungry, or I can become passively aggressive, or outright angry, or seriously aggressive. All of them parents, all of us, even us who think we're all right, things are good, we still need to give back to ourselves somehow, some way. Balance, I think, is when you get to the point of consciously giving. What does that really mean? Well, for me, because I can't talk for anyone else, it means that I'm making a choice that I'm aware of, meaning I choose to give. I choose to give to myself first, so that when the demands of giving to my family is needed, I have the capacity to do that without feeling no way. It's conscious choice coming from a mature place, knowing that I am carving out space to meet my needs so that I can give to you without feeling resentful, because my cup is half full. So I can give you knowing that I have enough to give, even if you don't give anything back to me. Or I have enough to give because I know at some point, maybe now or maybe later, that you will give back to me at some point, or space in time, or I give to you knowing that my needs will and can be met at some point, even if it's not from you. Did you hear what I just said? If you didn't hear, you're going to have to rewind and listen again. How can anyone expect a cup to keep overflowing when it's not been filled up? That is a miracle, isn't it? And while I believe in God that does perform miracles, right, I'm not sure everyone listening to this has that same faith. So I really wonder how we are expected to sacrifice and give to our children when we're empty or running on fumes. I've been speaking to some parents who are running on fumes. Some just have too much on their plate. I mean, everyone's plate is different. What you can handle is different to what I can handle, and vice versa. Many of us are temporarily filling gaps while bigger holes are opening elsewhere, or where plasters have been put over some injuries and wounds while you attend to the emergency in the room. But even nurses have time to recover. So when do parents? I fear that the answer is never. And so at some point, we all crash or burn. Or we do both. We crash and burn. How bad the crash will depend on different things, different circumstances. Don't get me wrong. You know what you can do. I am just speaking as a parent who has moved from one part of the parenting journey and now moving into another. So with some hindsight that I've gained, I turn to offer the insight to those who might need the encouragement that what they're going through will pass. And if they can be aware of putting some small things in place to assist them, then the journey might be a little more comfortable. That's the word I want to use, but I think manageable might be better. If parenting is a bit like a car, then we're all trying to avoid having accidents or crashing our cars. But a crash is a coming. Even if all we do is witness it, drivers all know car crash is not something we want. Some of us will see the crash coming and in slow motion see ourselves screaming as things get out of control. Others will be shouting out the window as the car heads for collision. Some will silently sit waiting for the inevitable to happen and not a sound they will make, while others will not even see it coming. If you just joined the podcast, I'm talking about giving back to yourself so that you can give to your children, your partner, and your families. If we don't learn to give to ourselves, how can we give to others really? Do we as parents think that sacrifice our needs will really fill the needs of our children? Now that might be giving, but it's just like temporary, isn't it? What might giving back to yourself really look like? Now, as I say, I'm no expert, so just flinging some ideas around here, yeah? One parent I spoke to this week said that during lockdown that they had let their child use their phone to do their homework on. I don't know what this phone looked like, but this was the only access to data and screens that this child had to access their schoolwork online. Another parent spoke about how the school had given her youngest child the loan of an iPad to do their schoolwork and had configured the iPad for that child's specific needs, whilst another child in that house who had special education needs was not given an item or laptop to access their education. How do you navigate your way through this kind of inequality that is so in your face? How do you meet the needs of one child and blatantly miss out the other? I'm not talking about a child thinking that a parent is treating one child more favorably than the other, or about this, special child scenario that some parents love to play out and other children love to manipulate the guilt to their own advantage. We ain't got time for that kind of sidestep today. That is a whole other podcast with guests. I have struggled to listen to some of the needs of the families. And they're simple things. I've struggled with the commandment, love others as you love yourself. Because some of us love off ourselves so much that we're way up an orifice. We think loving ourselves is all about buy this, buy that. You better give me this, you better give me that. When I call you, you better come running. Gimme, 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 gimme. But loving yourself, really? What does that look like? What does that look like for me? There are those that just give all the time, as I've said previously, yeah? And I could get complicated and start giving names to types, but let me just try and keep it simple. You need a balance between giving and taking. But can you give yourself time to work out what giving something back to yourself might look like? What keeps popping into my head is, Five Love Languages. That's it. Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. I remember when I was running a parent course, and what really became apparent was that sometimes you cannot give to yourself and you cannot love yourself if you don't know what that looks like. If you don't know what loving yourself, what you need to feel like you're being loved. So me talking now about giving back to yourself, what does that look like? Well, it's about a few years back that I discovered the five love languages, right? And did a quiz. And it helped me to see how I receive love, what that looks like for me. When certain things are done, I feel loved. Yeah. They have a website, right? And there's a book and there's quizzes, right? And I did my quiz and it helped me. But I was like, well, what's the point of me just knowing? Well, yeah, it was good for me to know, because then I knew that if I was inviting that in love into my life, I kind of knew what it looked like, not the kind of love that I had had previously that weren't really working for me. But he talks about like five different types of love. There's acts of service, quality time, physical touch, receiving gifts, and words of affirmation. So I did the quiz, and I can't, you know, you normally find that there's one or two that stand out more than the others. And I was curious for my children, as I've said before, I'm sure. One of my children decided she was going to do it. And it was interesting because she had a different language of love. And because of my language of love, I was trying to love her the way that I wanted to be loved. But that wasn't the way that she wanted to be loved or even saw that she was being loved. I think I should do a whole podcast on that, really. But anyway, having some understanding of that really helped me and my family to understand each other and how we loved each other and what each person needed to feel loved. So I'm using that same kind of thought or that structure to think about what is it that I need to make me feel like I'm giving back to me. So there's suggestions. Not every suggestion works. You're going to come up with your own. I just think I wanted us to think about that. What do we need to give to me so that I can feel that I'm filled, so that I can give without resentment, without hatred, with bitterness or negativity, that I can give willingly to my kids and my family. So a suggestion. For those of you who are interested in about the five love languages, you can, by Gary Chapman, you can go to www.5lovelanguage.com and you can look for yourselves. They've got quizzes for couples, for singles, for teenagers, for children. It's interesting. Anyway, they're not paying me to advocate it. I'm just sharing with you what I found useful for me. And if it works out to be useful for you, all well and good. But anyway, let's get back to what giving might look like to you. My bracelet's making a whole lot of bang, bang, banging. Giving back to yourself could look like getting in the bathroom first to get yourself ready for the day, rather than let someone else go before you and then find the bathroom in a mess when you need to use it. Because you already know what that says. I know what that says to me. Once I go in that bathroom and it's not clean, I'm just going to start going, the bathroom ain't clean. Who was in here last? What have you done? Brr, 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 brr. And before you know it, get into some kind of disagreement for what? Let me just get in the bathroom first. Let me shower, do all my things. Let me just feel good. Let me pamper myself, put on my cream, then brush my teeth, pluck my eyebrow, do what I have to do. And then I can walk out of that bathroom feeling, okay, I'm ready. Or what you could do is you could make that coffee or tea for yourself first and then do everybody else's. Even better, make your tea and drink your tea first rather than let it go cold. Because believe it or not, that makes you feel better. Or you could spend time in the bath, lock the door, play some music and soak in the bath for an hour. I call that my golden hour. I did that and the kids eventually got it. And I told them I needed that time, you know. I needed that me time, I said. And you know, children, they turned the cards one time. When I asked them to do something for me, they said, oh, I just need some me time. I had to laugh. Because they think they're funny, but they're not funny. Or it might look like spending an evening round robin now with key friends to let off some steam about things. So a round robin is what my mother reminded me of. So, you know, I'll go round to Betsy's house this week or this month. Next month it will be Shalice. The month after it will be my turn. The month after that it will be Kat's. So you go round in different environment, different house. And normally we just chill. We have a couple of hours, just mum time or parent time. The kids probably have come along. There are times when my kids do come along because the other families have children and the kids can all keep themselves entertained. And there are times when I definitely just need to be on my own and go to my mate's house and just be drinking Prosecco and mango juice. That's, if I'm going to drink Prosecco, then I've got to have mango juice because I really don't like Prosecco on its own. But some people will cuss and say, how can you do that? But hey ho, you know, we do what we do. But, you know, the most important thing is I know that I've got a time once a month where I'm going to link up with my friends and we're just going to have a good girly time. And if it's the lads, you have a lad's time, you know, whatever that looks like for you, but it's just not the time you're a parent. Or if you've got a significant other, you can have a date night once a week or every 2 weeks. It's a suggestion, doesn't mean it always works, but if you can set the intention, you never know what might happen. Or you can do something simple about giving back to yourself first before you give to others. And could be as simple as eating a meal that you prepare for the family. Rather than eating the leftovers because everyone else has eaten their food, you could, you know, sit down and eat at the table with everybody else. Or you could eat your food before they do. I mean, you know, this is just me talking. At the end of the day, you know, you're going to know or you're going to figure out or you're going to think about where you could do something that gives back to you. Anyway, when I listened more to the parents that I were talking to about, and especially the one I was talking to earlier, I realized that not only are they, but all of us, we're facing multi-layers of things coming at us. If it isn't one thing, it's another. And when I asked who was supporting them, it fast became clear that they were alone. Not because they were alone, but because they were alone. Do you hear what I'm saying? Who was helping them to advocate for their needs? Who is there supporting them while they are fighting for the things their family needs to breathe just a little? Who is there helping them to just breathe, to inhale and exhale, no expectation, just a moment of silence, when no one's asking them to do anything? Just so you can and breathe in, ready to, okay, now I'm ready to go. When I used to run the parenting courses for mothers dealing with their sons, I asked the same said question: who's supporting you through this or helping you to handle this? And there were few who could answer that question because the people around them were usually leaning on them too. So if it's not them, then who? In the army, troops who go to the front line and risk their lives do so. But behind the scenes, they got tons of people running around to make things happen. Those people who deal with communication, those medical staff, the technical people, them, the mechanics, the weapon expert, the strategic thinker, the cook, the cleaners, the drivers, the storeroom clerks, the fitness trainers. There's so many people behind the scenes who make sure that those who go to the front line and risk their lives have backup. When I saw an ad on telly telling me, joining the Navy, I think it was, they're selling me this idea of a family and being part of a community facing trials that make you. I came from here, but I was made in the army. That's one advert I recall seeing the other night anyway. But who does this for us parents? The only examples I could come up with was one, when families are in crisis and social service and everybody and their father decide to come out to put something in place for the family. Then it's overwhelming. They all take the power away from those who already feel vulnerable and powerless about making decisions about their own flesh and blood. Or two, so-called traditional families with extended family members who are central to everything and live with them or live near them and live in each other's pocket and helping them and extended members. I recall my mum telling me, right, that when they, in the 60s, when they came to Jamaica and came to England, that there was this type of network that existed within the Caribbean community where they lived and socialized with each other because they were considered outcasts in London. If you know a man who have a house, who have a room, that's where you went. That man would know that so-and-so was having a blues dance. That's where we socialize. Club, people got club, and this is where we all came, played dominoes and had rave. North London, where I grew up, that's Bruce Grove, Sheedy Grove Club. My mum was going there. You know, right now, you know, when some people came, they didn't come to London. They went out of London and they blended in and adapted and learned with everybody else. Some of us have lost this connection, hence gangs. But they make it seem like gangs are something new. They're not new. Gangs been around for a long, long, long time. Before my parents came off the boat in Southampton, I believe Cray Twins, East London, ring a bell? Anyway, if you've joined the podcast, we're nearly coming to an end because we've been talking about, you know, giving back to yourself so you can give to your children, your partner and your families. Now, if you really think parenting is such a major job, where is our backup and support? Where is our team? What do you think? You think we can do it all without support? Who said that that was part of the deal? Lockdown has really flagged up what parents have known all along. We're on our own when it suits up. We're on our own. And when it suits others, we are the problem, especially when our kids act up, because all your stereotypes come falling out of the cupboard. Lockdown has flagged up also that we don't really connect with the person next door. I mean, sometimes the people in our own house are families. Now, while I know that sometimes our families can be a whole can of worms to discuss, and before I lose sight of what I'm really saying, I'm just going to leave that piece there. But if we struggle in that area, how do we connect with ourselves? Why do you think that you can do it all on your own? What, for fear of thinking people you're not, for fear of thinking that other people think that you're not perfect? Let me tell you a secret. We are not perfect and cannot control everything. If that's what you are in, if that's what you think, sorry, if that's where you are, right, thinking you need to be perfect, then you're in for some serious trouble and some wake-up calls along this journey called parenting. Because your kids are going to show up. Even if you think you've hurt, even if you think you're perfect. I used to work as a youth worker many years ago. And I've worked in education as a teacher's assistant, mentor, further education teacher, pastoral manager, program manager, and beyond, governor, etc. I can tell you I saw a lot more than what was presented on the surface by parents and children. I've seen children who have plenty yet have nothing, and those with nothing who have plenty. What do I mean by that? I've met children whose parents have given them every material advantage or item to make them look like they have everything, and who appear well kept, but who have no inner self-worth, who were lost and lonely, who used money, drugs, alcohol, sex to try and fill the holes that they were feeling inside. They were the young people I used to do outreach work with, and the ones who later became parents themselves, unable to connect fully with their own children who desperately wanted to connect with them, but then found themselves just doing the same things that their parents done. And then they just picked up the patterns that were familiar for them and made it easy. Go to the pub Friday, go to the pub Saturday, go to the pub Sunday. If you're lucky, go church. And then the madness of whatever happened the night before became the apology for the morning. And it just went like that, around in a circle. I mean, I used to work in the community of Surrey Docks, and then I used to DJ at the weekends and partied amongst those people. So I've lived, worked amongst, seen, nor. I've also worked with kids whose parents wanted them to have the things they never had. You know, those parents who, you know, work X amount of jobs to try and buy their kids the designer goods so that they look the part. A bit like them reality programs, Everyways Essex, where everybody's doing the latest, but I can't even watch them things there. But anyway, in the adventure playground that I run, these kids would either sit on the sidelines wanting to play, but couldn't because they needed to keep their clothes clean, or they would forget their clothes and get really dirty. And then their parents want to come and challenge me about, oh, I bought that for Bianca, and she is not supposed to get it dirty. What were you telling me for? This is an adventure playground. An adventure playground where we build obstacles and we play in dirt. We don't care. So don't send them. That's what I'd say. Well, I think Bianca shouldn't come to this adventure playground then. Or Bianca should be dressed appropriately for adventure and dirt. I lost a few parents that way. Anyway, I could go on and on, but the truth is, parents need well-being. Parents need to have their well-being taken care of. I think parents are often seen but become invisible. Non-white parents and families even more so. The need for local, accessible, therapeutic support that includes non-white therapists and those that reflect the multicultural environment that I live in is needed now, more than ever. If we need support, shouldn't our families be our stronghold? But if we don't see that we need help, if we put everyone else's needs first ahead of ours, then we're simply gonna burn out. And when we burn out, professionals get involved. If they don't understand us, now they got a lot to learn. And then I am no longer mum, but a professional guinea pig for those professionals to try out their latest drugs and for them to experiment on getting to know me. But while you're doing all of that with your experimental drugs, who's looking after my kids? Because I can lose my kids. I can lose my job. I can lose my family. I can lose my friends. So why am I going to put myself through that when I can start to ask questions now and begin to take steps to take care of me now so that I can really take care of myself first? And my family and my kids. My kids and my family. Where do you go for help? There are people with information, but we got to ask questions like where and who can we speak to? I guess the hardest conversation to have is with ourselves. To say I need help, I think, is actually a strength and not a weak thing. In an earlier podcast, called Alone in Lockdown, I gave some links to organisations that can be approached in my local area. But I'm sure that wherever you are, there are organisations that you can ask a question. Advocate, befriending services, advice centres, and so on, and online resources. Start with the GP if you can even get to see them now, since some of them are not even seeing people since COVID and now easing. You know, you're getting to see a doctor and sometimes you're scared to even go and see a doctor because everybody's sick there and what am I saying? Nobody wants to be around other people. But the question is, what are you going to do? What are you going to put in place? And who are you going to call? So this is the end. Sorry, chat for long. But I feel really deeply that now more than ever, we need to take some time to think about how we give to ourselves so we can give to others. And I'm not talking about other people outside our home. I'm talking about those inside. Yeah. So, if you like this podcast, share it with someone. I have some interviews that I've done that are coming. I got some technical issues, but you know, I saw it go. I've got some mums lined up to interview. Will I be back? The question is, will I be back? The answer is, yes, I will. So until then, thanks for listening. Wishing you and your loved ones daily blessings. Remain safe. Till next time, I am out.